Less grace.
Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. We take our scripture reading this morning. Amen. To the book of Psalms, chapter 25, and verse 4. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious words. You may take your seats this morning. Amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. It's good to also see Brother Denver and family. Good seeing the Sister Jessica. And we appreciate each one of you this morning. Okay, just before I continue, I just want to talk to you about a few things that I had in my mind, so that I just put a few notes here, okay? Okay, so this come Wednesday, we said we'll serve communion. So those of you that don't understand the importance, remember that communion is showing that you're part of the Word. And so that will be on Wednesday. So let's set our areas that we know that we need to put right so that we don't grieve the Lord. Then this coming weekend, I will be in Cape Town, but the Lambert's graduation service will be, their family is having it on Sunday, so Pastor Tony is still out in UK. So I won't be here on this weekend. And then the following weekend, we have a get-together at AKTV. I think we have about 60 people coming. So those of you that are not coming, so if you want to come along, please speak to your area leaders. I'm not too sure whether there's any more place left, okay? So that's coming, that's on the 10th. For those of you who don't know, it's just a get-together we want to. But since there's so many of them, so on that Saturday, I just want to spend an hour with you. So I told Brother Logan to arrange a place for that Saturday. So we're going on Friday, eh? We're going Friday. I think Saturday, they will arrange for each one of us to we'll have a braai together. So you bring, I eat, okay? So we all share. I said, but Logan, get a couple of sisters to arrange some salads, because you'll have to make it at the site. You can't make it at home. And then Sunday morning, for those of you that are staying behind, we will have a service for you. It will be recorded, a recorded service. So those of you that are coming with us, you need to get your services. You need to listen to your services in your own homes. At AKTV, okay? So, we won't have a Sunday there, because I've already, we'll put up a recording, so in your own areas, you need to listen to that, and it'll be breakfast, and pack your bags, okay? So that's what it's going to be. So the reason why we're doing this is because next year we want to try and get the other sister churches down. So we just want to test out how the venue is and so forth. All right, and then, is it the 26th we're going, eh? 24th? Why did I put 26th? Okay, so the 26th of May. So I won't see you for at least, I think, next week, the following week, we'll be together. Then I come back, Brother Norman. So the weekend of the 24th, we go to Bloemfontein for the mission outreach there. So we leave on that Friday. There's a group there that we're working with. The brothers got two churches, so that will be on the 24th. Then I have India coming up, okay? India coming up, and Swaziland in July. So that will be towards latter part of July and into August. We might be away for about 4 to 5 weeks. So Brother Norman will be at his post of duty. He always have a holiday, so he can work whilst we're on holiday on that side, okay? So that will be in July. There's a lot of work that we need to do because we are responsible for what God gave us. So that is why we say that if you want to support the work, support missions, I've spoken to Pastor Tony. So what we've done, we've moved our mission account to our mission account so that we can take care of, because Africa basically we need to work with, and there'll be lots of things that comes up from time to time that we, so you might say, but why? Because you must understand, it's like a mother. Mother has to take care of the children from time to time. So they become our, the children that we need to look after, for whatever the needs, whether it's the word, whether it's attending to them spiritually, counseling, guiding, whether it's physical needs, emotional needs, those are the things that we need to do. And so that's why I say that you don't get me distracted with foolishness, okay? We need to get the work done, right? And then if you want to join us, more especially brethren, okay, not sisters, it gets too complicated, sisters, if you come along, because I don't take my wife on the field. It gets too hectic, okay? If brethren, you want to join us for any of the missions, let us know. Brother Larry actually works with the missions, mission outreaches, whatever it is. So if you want to join at any given time, you check with him. So I'm not going to keep announcing these things. So what happens, we share the cost, we carry our own costs, we pay our own flights. You see, but why? Because that's what you give back to the kingdom. Okay, you give back to the kingdom, and God in turn blesses you. So do pray for us, because time is running out. We're already in May. Okay, we're already in May. You might say, but we're in April. No, we're already in May. That's how it is. And I believe the Lord has given you this. So you, so much is given, much is required. Then sometimes it's very difficult, you know, to have two services on a Sunday. I tried it. What happens is that I need to cut short some things. We put a lot of pressure and so forth. So sometimes last year I told the board, try and avoid Thanksgiving services on Sundays. The reason being is that we only have two services on a weekday. You know, well, I read Sasha's note. You know, you can't stay in shape spiritually if you only work out once every Sunday, you know. So we had, so we went on to two services, but still that's not enough, you know. So she may have to change it. Two services is not enough to stay in shape. So our services, I've moved it to about 11 o'clock now. So if you get hungry, you want to go home, you need to park your car outside, come in, because there's a lot of work that I need to put in. And lots of people say, but I'm hungry. No, you can walk out nicely, eat your food, eat your sandwiches, and come back. Whether you're big, whether you're small, whatever it is, drink some water, especially those that are on medications, so that you become used to it. And then when you acclimatize with that, we'll move it to 11:30, okay, then to 12 o'clock. You say, but why? It's because that's how it is. You're going to find that out, that as you stay with this word, time is not enough, because we need to we need to equip you as quick as possible so that you can come up to that mind that God wants you to, right? And remember that you can't catch everything that we preach to you. Sometimes, like I hear this, you're too fast and you can't catch, go back to the recording. Because my mentor always makes a noise at me. He says, you spend too much of time with your people. You need to get the work. If they can't catch it, they must go back to the recording, because that's what university is all about. And you notice he does the same. He packs it, leaves you to people. We don't follow up, because it's you and God after that. We just need to finish the work. Okay, I've got work that will take us for at least 10 more years. Okay, that we need to do. And we don't have 10 more years. I'll be 75, okay, by then. And so we need to finish it. I'm serious. So we're in for some exciting times. remember that we're in for exciting times with this message, and we see things just unfolding to us every single day. You must understand that you need to... Ben, do me a favor, Ben. I see security is falling. I don't know what's going on. You need to understand that unless you put in the work, and you're going to find even today's services as well, that your family, your effects of your family, the effects of your family will basically suffer. The reason being is that you're not doing the work. You can't only listen. You can't only listen. You've got to study. You've got to study the word. You've got to make notes and all these things. All right. So much for that. Any other questions, please speak to your leaders. As I said, if you find the services too long, you're welcome to go home. I won't hold it against you because I know maybe you're working, you got to go back, you got an appointment, you know, because we treat you as adults. We don't treat you as children. Adults, because you come to church not because of the man, but you come because of what you believe that is going to help you. Remember Brother Revlin and Sister Michelle and Sister Mudley, they're unwell. Okay, and the Lord bless those of you that are celebrating your birthdays and anniversaries that's coming up. All right, so we've read our scriptures, and I was trying to find out how do I put this whole thing together without too much of complications. So if I don't finish it today, I'm going to pick it up on Wednesday service, okay? On Wednesday service. Now, just one second. This chappy, Brother Irwin, gave me a problem now. Let's see. Just one second. This thing just gives me a problem. Let's try this way. Okay. All right, so I read to you the scriptures about what the Bible speaks about, the secret things of God, all right? And remember, I'm preparing this whole thing so that we can get into the seventh seal, the seven thunders, the tenth vision, the third pull, and so forth. All right, so so remember that when we did before the beginning, oh my goodness, why does this do that? So our screens are not equipped for color, certain colors. I was wondering why Brother Norman's slides also have problems. I think that's the only one. All right, so we did the series on the before the beginning, okay? And we know that in the eighth dimension we had Elohim. Now, this writing is a bit small. So Elohim lived in the eighth dimension, so he was already substance. Remember, we know that he never was created. We know that he is. There was nobody before him. There will be nobody after him. And we see that he comes from spirit. The steps that he follows is spirit to word to flesh. Now, the third thing that he had was he had a desire. Okay, he had a desire. Maybe I need to bold this so maybe you can see it a bit better. Okay. He had a desire, and the desire was, he wanted to have a family, okay? He wanted to have a family, and because he was in that eighth dimension, his desire was to show his power, show his ability. Now, I want you to follow me carefully because there's a lot of things that we're going to go into today. Now, being in the eighth dimension, remember that you read who is Melchizedek as well. He planned out everything. There was not even the Son of God there. Okay, there was not even the Son of God. And so I want you to know that this great being sitting out there plans his family, plans creation, and Him being so powerful, we need to know that him being so powerful, he cannot in any way do anything unless he creates a communication. So what he does, he creates the fourth dimension. So the fourth dimension is where he's going to work from. Excuse the colors, because that yellow thing at the bottom means fourth dimension. So the fourth dimension is a communication dimension. This is where we know about television and so forth. But then in the spiritual world, we know that the enemy is going to use that to bring in diseases, and then God's going to use that to speak to the prophets via visions and dreams. All right? It's a communication. Now, the fourth dimension, I'm not going to do the fourth dimension because that's Brother Norman's going to do that. But just to explain to you is that this is where God's going to communicate. The enemy is going to use it for communication. And knowing that this channel is going to be perverted, that is why you're going to find that in the last seal or the seventh seal, when we come to that, that the Lord told the prophet of God, be careful what you're going to say. Because remember that the most important thing for you to remember is that what you say goes out there. And the prophet of God says, he says, that vibration never dies. That is why we try to tell you all the time is to watch what you speak, what you say. And because many a times we prophesy, listen to the words, we prophesy negativity over your life. Okay? You prophesy negativity over your life. You say, but why would that be so? You speak about, I don't know why things are not working out. You're prophesying over yourself. You know, I don't know why everything is just going wrong. You're prophesying over yourself. It's a vibration. The quote says, those vibrations, it says that it never dies, which means it'll go round and round and round, and it's going to come back to you. It's going to be a seed. Now, remember these things, what we're talking about, because it's going to happen. It's going to make you understand how you can fit into the ministry that comes at the end time. Are you with me? All right? So we know that... I was wondering why it's not working, because I've got the thing in my hand. I haven't connected it. Okay. Now, we must understand this, brothers and sisters, is that when you understand that what you have in you, you're going to become more participating in the services. You'll participate more in the services. Now, remember that in this great being, we know that he has energy, or he is energy. Now, being energy, or he is energy, we don't know. People say, but where did he come from? He came from, he existed. And if he's energy, what you think if he has a thought? What will those thoughts be? It'll be energy. Are you with me? Now, just hold these things as I'm talking now. So if he's got, if he's energy and he's got thoughts in him, that will be an energy. Now, he has a desire to have a family. He has a desire to have creation. He has a desire to worship. He has a desire to become the healer. Now, he needs to come to a point where he can put this into operation. So we know that he condescends into the seventh dimension. He dresses himself with a pillar of fire, which becomes the theophany of God. Remember, the pillar of fire is not God. It only holds the presence of God. Now, these things are important for you to start understanding when we're going to go into the third pole and when we're going to go into the seventh seal. Because why does he come into the pillar of fire? It's because of his very presence and his very being. Nobody can come into that presence of the being. All right? Because of the energy that he has, we've been through that. And so we see that he wants to prove that he is God But he needs a witness. He can't do it on his own. So he brings his son. Okay? He gives birth to his son. Out of his thought, out of his mind, he brings his son. Right? His son comes, and a part of his, part of God's pillar of fire, he makes a body for his son. So you say, but where do you get that? You get that, you see that in Adam. Adam, God brings Adam, and out of Adam, he pulls out the woman. Right? And then he takes a bone out of Adam, and he clothes the woman. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Are you with me? All right? And now, this great God, or he's not even God as yet, now he is in the seventh dimension. That's John 1:1. That is that is when God comes into his own creation. He becomes the first creation when he's into the pillar of fire. Okay? So he becomes his own creation. Also, he is the first son. God is the first son. You say, but how? Because the son does not know how to be a son unless the father shows him how to be a son. Like every father that's here, your son is modeling on you whether you believe it or not. Okay? If you've got a daughter, your daughter is modeling on you. Have you noticed your children say, okay, we're going to play a house game. Do they still play that now? Huh? You're going to be daddy, and I'm going to be mummy. And they'll put your shoes on, she'll put your dress on, he'll put your whatever on, and they'll play the games. But subconsciously, they are modeling. All right. So now, this great God, he has got angels, and one of the angels, which is Michael, and Michael walks with the Gentiles. I'm throwing these things, and we'll pull all these things together as we're going on. All right? And so remember that this mighty angel, which is Michael, you'll see a lot of roles that he's going to play in this entire drama, which we call life. Okay, this entire drama, which is called life. Because Michael is tied to the secret that's in the book. Michael comes down as Michael. Michael sometimes comes down as God. Okay, Michael sometimes represents the Son of God. Okay, we'll look at that. So, and then he goes into the sixth dimension, and he creates the theophonic world. The theophonic world is where you have angels. Now, remember that when we looked at angels, it's on the recordings as well, you have different ranks of angels. You have different ranks of angels. And you have angels that are guardians. You have guardian angels, which we will pick up just now. And in the sixth dimension is the theophanies of the elected. Now, you say, but I don't understand you. Hold those thoughts, because as we build this subject up, okay? So the sixth dimension is a theophonic world. It's a world where angels are. It's a world where those that have gone are there. But also know that there are different pockets. There are different pockets. Now, we're not going to go too much into the what you call when they die. All right, because that'll go too much into overlapping what happens when you die, which dimension you are, because then you're going to talk about the glorified bodies. But I just want to lay this thing out for you, and then we'll go back into it. So if you've got questions and all, hold your questions. All right. So we see that whilst he was coming down in the seventh dimension, he began to write his thoughts down into the heavens. He wrote his thoughts down on the pyramid. He wrote his thoughts down in the Bible. All right? And so these thoughts of God are recorded in the heavens, recorded in the pyramid, and recorded in the Bible. Are you with me? Now, when you look in the heavens, you can't read it. You go to the pyramid, okay? The pyramid that Enoch built, you can't read it. Okay, those of you that went there, you read your Bible, you can read your Bible, but you'll understand it from a humanistic point of view. Nothing more than that. Because he's putting his thoughts there. All right, so John 5:37 says, you have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. But now he wants to have a family. He wants to talk to his family. But the Bible is saying, now you can't see his, you can't hear his voice, neither can you see his shape. Because now if he wants to have a family, can you imagine you have a family and your son, you can't see your son, or you can't see your daughter, you can't see your wife, or you can't see your husband. That'll be a different family altogether. Okay? So that means now, if he can't be seen, he can't be heard, but he wants a family, he's got to use what we call the communication channel, right, to get what we call his mysteries. Because the Father shares his thoughts with his Son. Okay? That's what the Father is going to do now. Because you can't see him. The energy levels are too high. You can't be in his presence. So what he's doing now, the Son is going to speak the thoughts of his Father. This is going to take place at creation. Okay? The Son's going to catch the thoughts of the Father, and the Father is going to bring it to pass. But when the Son is gone, the rules change. When the Son is gone, when the Son comes to the earth, remember that before the foundation of the world, John 17, the Son was there. And now, after the creation of the world, you don't hear anything about the Son. You don't hear anything about it. He just goes silent because he's just a witness. And then he comes onto the earth as a Father's witness. He says that the doctrine I have is not mine. He says the words I speak is not mine. Okay? Trevor, I left my notes in my bag. It's a couple of pieces of paper there. Okay, so he says, the doctrine I have is not mine. The words I speak is not mine. The will that I have is not mine. I come to do my Father's will. Are you with me? I come to do my Father's will. So, end of the day now, this Son's purpose, thanks. This Son's purpose was what? Is to bring the doctrine of the Father. Because I told you now, you can't hear his voice. You can't see his form. So the Son becomes a conduit. It becomes a channel. Are you with me? This mic carries my voice and you hear it on the speaker. Okay? You hear it on the speaker. Now, if I have to, you can't hear it there. So that means now whatever I speak is going there and you can hear. Are you with me? Now, whatever the thoughts of the Father is, the Son catches it. Now, this is very important for you to understand about how you even pray. Okay? How you pray, how you can get results. Okay? How you get results. All right, let's move on. So when the Son is gone, whilst he was on the earth, right, he represented the Father. So very important to know is that the Father comes down, right, in the seventh dimension. He starts his creation. The Son represents the Father by speaking the thoughts of the Father, and you have creation. The Son comes on the earth. He shares the Father's will. Right? So, when the Son is on the earth, Remember that we already know about Godhead. We know about the body that was created was the body of God. And so that becomes the temple of God. So Jesus the Son becomes the idol of God. You say, what do you mean an idol? So you'll notice that people will go before an idol because the idol is, or a temple. You go into the temple so that you can go and see somebody or worship somebody. You go into a house so that you can see the people. The house is not the people. The temple is not God. Neither is the idol God. Okay? Now these things, I'm showing you all these things for you. It's so important for you to start remembering. Because when you begin to understand the fourth dimension, remember I said this to you, that God can't talk to you directly because you'll see just now scriptures coming up because you can't hear his voice. You see, I don't understand. The scriptures that we'll bring up just now is that when God spoke, okay, when God spoke, the Bible tells us it thundered. It thundered. There's a lot of scriptures that I put on my slides that when it thundered, the Bible says, when he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in, yea, him, people heard a thunder. Okay? And then he said, that voice did not come for me, but for you. Okay? But they could not understand the voice. Are you with me? Go to Brother Branham. The angels tells him something. He takes a rock, he throws it in the air. The men heard something. They could not understand what was taking place. The prophet catches the thought of the Father. He says, judgment is going to strike West Coast. Why? Because you can't understand when God speaks. You got to follow me now. You can't understand when God speaks. Because when we start looking at many scriptures that goes into the Word of God, you're going to find that, let's go to John 12, 29. Let's go to John 12, 29. Whilst the brothers are looking. So, I've been trying to put this together to try and make you to understand a few things so that you begin to... Therefore, the people that stood by... Go up a little bit, please, brother. Go up a little bit. Okay, it's okay. Come down. You come down. Okay. The Father glorified thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people, therefore, that stood by, heard it, said, it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him. So, why? Because the mind of God, the thoughts of God, cannot be caught unless there's a word prophet. If there's a word prophet on there, then you can catch the thought of God, the voice of God. Lots of time people say, I want God to speak to me. Really? When you begin to understand a few things, that you'll begin to realize that even if God speaks to you, you will not be able to catch that because of the energy that he has. The energy that he has, okay? And so, remember that when the Son is coming, he does not represent himself. Because of the fourth dimension and the communication, and because of the rule that's there, the rule in John 5:37 is that you can't see him, you can't hear him. So the only thing that you need to do is to listen to the one that represents him. The law of representation is that now the Son now represents the Father. The Son now represents the Father. So you see now that the Son speaks the thoughts of the Father. But now when the Son leaves the earth and the Father incarnates the body, there are seven spirits before the throne. These seven spirits are the seven eyes. These seven eyes now are, listen to me carefully, they're going to represent the Father. They're going to represent the Father. So these seven spirits or seven eyes now comes to what? They come to anoint the messengers. They come to anoint the reformers, the seven church ages. Now listen to me very carefully. Is that these seven messengers are anointed by angels that are accountable to the Father. The Son does not own the angels. He is given charge. It is delegated to him to be in charge. All right? So who does these ministry spirits represent? They come to represent the Father. Now, let's hold the slide so that you can catch a few things. In order to catch the thoughts of God, there has to be a Son present. Now the Father has sent down seven spirits. These seven spirits now require a Son. Those are the seven sons. Those seven sons now, in order for them to catch the thought of God, have to be get anointed. So now you're seeing Paul, Irenaeus, and so forth, they are becoming what? The Holy Spirit for the age. They are the Holy Spirit for the age. You know, people don't understand it in the denomination. They say third person of the Trinity. No. Now, here's an important thing also to remember. When the pillar of fire left the earth was the death, burial, and resurrection. The pillar of fire returns again in the days of Paul. You say, but why? Come to teach Paul. Because I think it's an unveiling of God. Is that the pillar of fire in the days of Paul had come to tell Paul to write. But in this day, the pillar of fire comes to reveal. So you have a word prophet, a prophet messenger, right, at the end time. Now you have Paul, who is an apostle. Paul's an apostle, right? And remember that the rest of the men are missionaries. They are one that he sent. I told you this, that God can only reveal his secrets, which you should know, through prophets, not apostles. Apostles have to catch what a prophet messenger says. Now, notice, the same pillar of fire sent to Paul, Moses and Paul, that wrote the Bible, now sent to reveal it. Right? Now, the grace of God, the unchanging word of God, fulfilling the promises of Matthew, lo, I am with you always. Now, how is he always with you? Let's go on reading. The works that I do, you shall also do in the last day. Okay, let's stop here. Lo, I'll be with you always. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you fatherless. Let's go back to my slides. I will be with you always. This here are the fathers. I was told to. Sometimes to use the slide. Can you see here? These are the fathers, okay? So when the Bible says, I will be with you always, this is the prayer, okay? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. So the kingdom of God is coming. Thy will be done on earth. Thy will be done on earth. In this earth here. Right? Give us this day our daily bread. For seven church ages, he was giving them daily bread. Not the bread, daily bread. You're reading the little book. You're reading the daily bread. Every church age was the daily bread. Okay? Lead us not into temptation. That means that in the church ages, there was corruption. But if they leaned to their father, the teaching of that age, they escaped whatever was taking place in that age because God will seal them. Okay? If they fail, so that daily bread kept them away from temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Okay, so if you go look at the Lord's Prayer, there's a lot more depth into the Lord's Prayer. You can look at it, okay? Where the Lord is hiding these things. So I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you fatherless. This is the mercy seat that's here. So these are the mercy seat. These are the Christ that's coming down. You know, did you know the Son was actually, the Bible says, he was Jesus called Christ. Thou shalt call his name, because Jesus belongs to who? The Father. But he was actually the Christ. He was the Christ. Not Christ, the Christ. All right? So, these seven fathers that are there are now, what are they? Messiahs. They are the lights. Now, this is very important for us to catch here now. Is that these seven eyes that represented the Father now becomes, these seven men now becomes the Holy Spirit for the age. They become the Holy Spirit for the age. So who now were they representing? The eyes represented, right? The eyes represented the Father, right? And Jesus said, I pray the Father. He says, when I go away, Brother Norman, maybe you'll pick the scripture as I'm talking. When I go away, I'll ask the Father to send another comforter. People are saying third person, the Trinity, and so forth. Right? Because when he is gone, these seven men are representing who? Jesus the Son. They're representing Jesus the Son. So when you read your Bible, you're expecting somebody else, but these seven men are coming there now. Because the Son's gone, the rule changes. He can't come down. He can't come down. If he comes down, mercy's over. I'm talking with the Son. All right? He can't. And I pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, who is this other comforter? It's not a third person. For every age, you would find that he sent daily bread. He will abide with you forever. All right. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, John 14:17 says, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, watch that, and shall be in you. That is with you, outside teacher, in you, the gene of God. So, when you read John 14, now keep it up, when you read John 14:17, right, the prophet of God says, in this quote, he says, as the Spirit of Truth visited, was in the days of Daniel, right? So that spirit of truth visits us even at the end time. So this year, this spirit of truth here comes at the end time. Are you with me? Why? Because you saw... Oh, I'm going to go ahead of myself. Let's go back to my slides. So these are messengers for the age. Now, I want you to understand that Brother Branham had also a ministering spirit. This ministering spirit was for the church ages. Why? Because to gather all the loose ends and to rebuke the age, do the work of an evangelist, okay, because they will not endure sound doctrine, time will come, okay. So what was he doing? Preaching to the church, preaching to the against the system. Are you with me? But these seven eyes could not in any way bring to you some things that the Father had in his mind. There were lots of things. That is why you would find that Paul said that I might know him. I might know him. Because Paul did not know him. He said, why? Although Paul knew there was one God, but Paul did not come up to that level because of what Brother Branham came up to, because God kept it for the end time. Okay? Remember the marriage in Cana? The wine that was made? All right? He says this wine is the best wine compared to the first wine. Okay, that has significance even here, because what's coming at the end time, right? What the church is going to know, when I talk of the church, I mean the bride's going to know, right? You're going to find that all the ages wanted to have this. They wanted to know. Even Paul wanted to know. Because even though Paul was writing these things, he says, but you know what? I'm writing these things, but we are looking through a glass, okay? That is so hard to even understand. That even Peter said, in the book of Peter, maybe the brothers can find the scripture, he says, you know, our brother Paul wrote these things, which is very hard to even understand. Because when you read the Paul's writings, even without the message books, you can read it and understand the words, but it cannot really give you a true understanding. Okay? It can't give you an understanding. Because why? Because it is hid. It is hid. You say, but why? Because God was holding back this for the end time. That even when Peter says, you see, our brother Paul is writing these things, but it's very, very hard to understand these things. You say, but why will that be so? You're going to see even in this age that even when people read the message books, and if you read it from a humanistic point of view, you'll get humanistic understanding. Are you with me? And then when this thing begins to break to you, when you start catching the revelation of it, you say, oh my, it brings you a different level altogether. All right, so let's try and gain a little bit more ground. All right, so in 1946, now Son of Man appears with two signs. Okay? So there's Revelation 3:20. And this is where the seventh seal opens in part. The pillar of fire is on the earth after 2,000 years. And now this becomes the personal presence because Jehovah God is on the earth. So these seven messengers are actually, we say they are representative presence. They are the representative presence. Why? Because the eyes represent the Father. The seven men represent the Son. But if you really look at it, all of them represent the Father. Because if you go back to my slide, the father shares his mind with his son. The son now has to share it with these ministering spirits. Now, one of the things that you need to also remember is that the father shares it with the son. The son now has to send it to an angel. We did this, a signifying angel at the end time. That signifying angel is a prophetic spirit that will come down here in the days of the prophet of God. But remember that the father does not talk to the messengers directly. As also on all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, with they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So Peter is talking about Paul as well. And you're going to see the same thing, brothers and sisters, even today when you talk to people in the message groups. But brother, yes, sir. And God became a man. And you don't know what to tell them, because it's the same as, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. Now, you can read it in the scripture. You can read it where God became a man, but they can't catch the understanding. Because even when Paul was writing, Peter and all the disciples were struggling to catch up what Paul was saying. Because why? The mind of God did not come. God did not give all his thoughts to the seven spirits or the seven ministering spirits. Now, ministering spirits come to anoint a messenger. Ministering spirits come to anoint a messenger. So if you are an apostle or if you're a pastor, you have a ministering spirit by your side that helps you, anoints you to bring the word of God. So you'll have a ministering angel to anoint the apostle to catch the doctrines of the Father, which is Brother Branham. Then you'll have another ministering spirit that will anoint the pastor, that will catch the apostolic ministry. Now you have a guardian angel that will catch what I bring to you. Do I make sense? Every one of us have what you call a recording angel that records everything that you are doing. Everything that you're doing, you have a recording angel. All right. So, when this pillar of fire comes down, there has to be a prophet messenger on the earth. So now he's got a ministering spirit. Now you have the mighty angel coming down in the form of Michael, but in that now is Jehovah God. Now, why will that be so? Why? I want you to understand, why will that be so? Now, God himself will want to bring his mind, what he had in his mind, whatever secrets he had in his mind, he wants to bring it to this prophet, because there are mysteries and there are greater mysteries. There are mysteries and greater mysteries. These men in the church ages could not bring their mysteries and greater mysteries. It's only the seventh prophet messenger that is going to get anointed. So they get anointed to catch the mind of God, because the Son of God can't come down. Brother Norman, you know this quote, and Jesus does three things at the time of his descent. Okay, Brother Wake, I think you got the other computer. You can look for it. Okay? Now, this prophet messenger now did not know in 1946 who was standing there. You can do a study on it. You'll say, I don't know, this is an angel. I don't know what it is. And then only when later when we get into the cloud, story about the cloud and so forth, it begins to, you see, that picture of the cloud was not the way you're seeing it today when it appeared. Did you know that? Because the angel told him to turn it. Do that make sense? Didn't the angel tell him to turn it? Because that cloud was faced in a different... That's why when you hear him speak about, he says, that angel on my right meant more to me than all the other angels. Because when you look at it that way, okay, three things happen, a shout, voice, and trump has to happen before Jesus appears. Jesus does all three of them when he is descending. Now, if Jesus is going to do all three things now when he is descending, why do you think the message community is baffled? Anybody? Why do you think they are baffled with this quote? Jesus does all three things of them when he is descending. Anybody? Sorry, Larry? Yes, because they are thinking of one Jesus. Because in the book of Acts, Jesus can't come until all things are restored. And then if Jesus comes, mercy is over. If Jesus comes, it's a rapture time. So if your Godhead is wrong, you can't get this quote right. Okay? You can't get this right. He says, what? It says a shout. What is the shout? It's the message going forth. I told you about the bread. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Okay, sorry, there's too many things running through my mind. So I'm actually thinking, do I bring it? Do I don't bring it? Do I leave it for next time? Whatever it is. All right? So, now keep it open. So if he does three things at the time of his descent, so what is that? That, brothers and sisters, is Revelation 10. Revelation 10. I saw a mighty angel coming down, clothed with the cloud as a rainbow above his head, and a little book opened. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself shall the Lord himself. Why himself? Why so specifically himself? Because in the church ages was represented. He was represented. Are you with me? He was represented. So here, now he's coming down because he has a prophet messenger on the scene who's coming now and he wants to bring the word of God. Okay? Let me see. Don't switch the slides. Oh, thank you. Somebody bought pens for me. But, you know, I hope it writes because these things are so thin. Sometimes you're bored. Let me see. Switch the slide. Let me see if it works out, brother. Okay, so let me see here. Oh, you can't see it. So you have the seven seal. This is where we are. You have the seven seal. You would hear speak that the seven seal is what? It's in a threefold. It's in a threefold mystery. All right? Now, we're not going to go too much into that today, but let's go back to that quote. I was actually testing the pen. go back to the quote, brother. Okay? It says three things happen. a shout, a voice, and a trump. So we know already a shout is a living voice, is beyond the grave, and the trump is where the rapture and the Jews are taking place. Because we're going to go into this thing more. Okay? We're going to go into this more. All right. Now, in 1946, you have the appearing. You have the appearing. Thank you, whoever brought the pens. Bless your heart. Seems to be working well. The appearing of the Lord. All right? Now, it's very important. We said here the threefold mystery is shout, voice, trump. All right. So under the shout, there is something. This is for the living. This is for the dead. This is for the Jews and the rapture. All right. So now, we also know that under the shout, we also know that under the seven seals, the threefold mystery. But before you could have the shout, there has to be a coming. This is a coming of the Lord. You see, but why? You'll hear even Pastor Tony speak about that. This is not the rapture. Because he comes down in Revelation 10. Why does he come down? He has to come down and there's silence. We'll go more into detail about the half an hour of silence. All right? Because now you're going to find this seven thunders. We will look at this also. All right? So you're going to find that under the seven thunders, right, is this where this thing comes in here. The shout, voice, and trump. But I'll explain that to you as we're going on to tie this thing up here. All right? Because before, we only knew the seventh seal as threefold mystery. But we need to find out more about this. What is this threefold mystery? All right? Because you have one where the prophet speaks of is the unknown language. He says that seven thunders, this one was unknown language, and the last one was, which is the coming of the Lord. That is the rapture. This is a rapture. So under the seventh seal, there are three things. So we will look at that more into detail, and we'll bring this down here as well. But I'm trying to show you here, you can't have this unless Jehovah God comes down, which is the personal presence of God. He has to come down so that he can bring this. And when he brings this here, now remember that this took place on the earth. It was not in heaven. The thunders took place on the earth. Why? Because there was a prophet. There was a prophet. All right? And because there was a prophet here now, he is now going to bring to you and I this message here, which is the shout. We'll go more into that as we progress in, because previously we only spoke about seven seal is a threefold mystery or threefold. There was a threefold purpose behind the whole thing, but we did not know how this thing works down here. Where it comes, the appearing, the coming, then you have the seven thunders. Okay. Let's go down to my notes now. Now, I'm showing you some things now. He wants to bring the mystery. He wants to bring the mystery All right, I'm looking that slide, I'm looking here, I don't know why. Okay, I think that shot, that screen didn't go fully down, but it's fine. So what does he do? He hides his mysteries with compound words. He hides his mystery with parables. He hides his mystery with similes. Now, he hides his mysteries in visions and dreams. How? Through the life of Brother Branham. So Brother Branham, I spoke on the man and the message is one. If you don't realize that things that takes place in Brother Branham's life, okay, was actually God bringing to you and I things that he could not bring out plainly. He could not bring it out plainly. He said, I don't understand you. What you mean? Hope. Okay? Hope. He was married to Hope. Hope was who? Typing who? The Pentecostal bride. Okay? Now, Hope never... according to this research and so forth, is that Hope was a very possessive person. And Hope leaned more to her mother-in-law and so forth, a mother rather. And Hope had Billy Paul. Billy Paul was... Brother Brian says, one of the days, Billy Paul will take my Bible and he'll go behind the pulpit. But you know that Billy Paul never could not become a pastor. He could not continue the work, okay? And then Brother Brian got married to Meda. Meda was the, when she was praying one day, the angel of the Lord gave her Malachi 4. This is Elijah. This is Elijah. And out of Meda, you had Joseph coming. Joseph was the son of promise. Are you with me? Now, all the events that are taking place in Brother Branham's life, his very marriage, okay? His very marriage... is going to tell us a story. The fact that his father there's somewhere I think in the life story of Larry or somewhere is that they were called Branhams that way, and somewhere along the line this is six letters. His father, they went and inserted the H, seven letters. Okay? I'm not too sure whether we read in life story and so forth, but somewhere along there, the name changed as well, showing you had Abraham, and you had Abraham, which we did recently. Seven letters, six letters, all lining up, all right? You see, but what are you trying to get at? Because you're going to see that how God uses people around Brother Branham just to carry the truth out. Now, off my research, off my studying, okay, but we'll go look at these things, is that the revival broke out in Russia. And there was a prophecy that broke out there that a certain group of people, they are going to suffer great losses and they need to leave and so forth. And then we find that World War I broke out. And this group realized, because there were huge debts there. There was this little boy that prophesied, and amongst them now, there was the Demas family. The Demas family that were in Russia, they migrated to America. They migrated to America, and they were there. And then you read about what you call another prophecy coming of how Demas Shakarian wanted to do things for the Lord. All right, you're going to see how the events that takes place around the men, around Brother Branham, was actually God bringing out those things, but using the lives of these men. And if you don't have a ministry to guide you, you're going to read it as just, for example, Brother Isaac reminded me on this one, is when Brother Branham, and when his mother gave birth, and Brother Branham was there, was quite a baby, and it was quite cold, and because they were so poor, and there was not enough fire and warmth in the house, that his mother actually kept him warm because he's going to die, right? And remember, I started off with Abaddon when Moses was born, and I told you about when Jesus was born, how they came to kill the firstborn. So now you're seeing the firstborn of this age, which is Brother Branham. He's been born, and here you see there's a deep winter coming upon that would have caused the child to die, and you would not even have a messenger, that God placed it upon the neighbor to look at that house and says, "Hey, hold it. I don't see any fire going on there." That God caused the man to go there and see that the mother and child almost at death. Now, you might look at it as just normal, but it's actually the life itself is bringing to you some mysteries behind it. Like, you know, when you look at Abimelech and Sarah, okay? Because if you look at Sarah, Hagar, and Mary, you have Sarah, you have Hagar, and Mary. Who does Mary represent? Pentecost. So this must be Wesley, and this was Luther. Okay? And Sarah was enticed by Abimelech. You wanted to seduce her. You wanted to put foreign seed there. The same thing with Luther. But God told Abimelech, "You touch her, you're a dead man." Okay? It's the same thing with Luther as well. You would find that the very lives of prophets, their wives, even their children. Now you take Brother Branham. One step backwards. For us to have an Elijah for this day, God had to watch over the genetics of his grandfathers so that you can have a man who would hate woman. You say, but how? It's because the way his father treated his mother, that it damaged him. That he would, when his father would call him and say, "You need to go and bring water so I can make moonshine." Okay? Now you'll call it Gavin. The voice said to him, "Don't drink, don't smoke, don't defile your body. I have a work for you." And you will see how this woman will come in and they will have a good time. Okay? And he built up animosity towards the woman. that you would say she's not even worth a clean bullet. Now you might think, well, you know, no. He was shaping this Branham Tabernacle, the man, to bring him up to the qualities and the characteristics of an Elijah. Because Elijah was against, John the Baptist was against marriage and divorce, or marriage of, was it Herod? Okay, because he married his brother's wife. And you see what you call Jezebel comes along. So you'd find that the temperament that he loved nature. Okay, because he had the red Indian blood in him. He had the red Indian blood. Are you with me or are you sleeping? Okay. He had the red Indian blood in him. That he would go out hunting and, I mean, you know, you hear this prophet says, look, he went to kill a rabbit and he went and killed this. And when he killed, what's going on? Because he was a 20th century prophet. And he was a man that had a desire for the wild. That everything that was taking place around him, as we'll break into all these little aspects of his life, that even the very people's mistakes that was taking place in their life was actually for you and I. So, I don't understand. Billy Paul's marriage. Billy Paul, he gets married here. Where is he? He got married. He gets married. And Brother Branham had to go and annul the wedding. Where is he now? So fast, I can't spell the word. Okay, annul the wedding. And because he annulled the wedding, he disqualified him. That you can't hold the Bible because you're supposed to represent the word. You're supposed to marry, you know, you can't marry a second time, all those things. Because the Pentecostal church could not go on. They could not go on to receive this word. Now, you'll see men in the days of Brother Branham, Gordon Lindsay, he wrote, "A Man Sent from God." Okay? A.A. Allen, that was there. Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, all these men that were there. If you take Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, angels said, listen, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, they are the two angels that goes down to Sodom and Gomorrah. They're the ones that's going to be the blinding gospel. They're going to come in there and blind the people. And that's why you'd find that the message community now are going back to Pentecost. That's where they're going back to. Why? Because if somebody comes to our church, we don't have altar calls. We don't have laying of hands. Okay? You might have a dream. We don't major on it. We don't talk about your dreams. Some people have visions. We don't talk about this. Because all these signs is a distraction. It's a distraction. What distraction it is? It's a distraction to the message that's going to come. It's a distraction to the message that's going to come. And so you'll see that in 1962, Branham Tabernacle gets renovated. Branham Tabernacle is getting renovated. He's getting ready to preach the seals, 1963. But simultaneously, God is renovating the man. He's renovating the man. And you reading things like present stage of my ministry. And then now Paul, in present stage of our ministry, Brother Brian refers to Demas. Okay? And he says, if Demas only knew who Paul was, and Demas would say, if Paul was such a great man, why does he have one coat? The men that are around Brother Branham now, Demas Shakarian and so forth, all these men, as the ministry is now coming to a close, for the Pentecostal age to close, they begin to start leaving him. They begin to start leaving him, and it so happens now, this prophet goes into debt. $15,000 in debt. But all this is taking place around the time when God's going to open up the word. Because sometimes in our lives, you see, brothers and sisters, before God can trust you with something important, He's going to first renovate you. He's going to renovate your thinking, renovate your mind, renovate who you are. If He does not renovate that, you'll not be in a position. That is why you'd find when you're young, you got so much of desires. You know, you're so young, you got youthful desires in you. Your youthful desires, you want to do things. You're not really thinking. You're not really thinking because you're a youth. You're not looking ahead. You're not looking ahead. And because you have got youthful desires, sometimes the last thing on your mind is God. You're worrying about your car that you want to buy, the house that you want to live in, the woman that you want to get married to, or your experience at work, your qualifications, your promotion, this, that. That's on the foremost of your mind. And God can't really use you when you're in that condition. You say, but why? Because you'll find that in your subconscious mind is where God works in. You heard this even on Wednesday. It's in your subconscious mind that God is going to work through you. And so this prophet now is going through so much of experiences that he comes and he preaches the message, Pastor Lily. Okay? He speaks about the lily. He describes the lily. That he says, this is how the lily comes out. He says, it comes out of a pond. It has to push up all the muck. Now you read that as a story. Oh, he's speaking about the lily and so forth. But all the dirt that he has to push through, this Mr. Lily or Pastor Lily is none other than Brother Branham. Because the Branham Tabernacle was not considered to be a popular place. People prophesied it would be turned into a garage. And they were expecting nothing out of it. Now he's taking the subject about Mr. Lily. And you're reading that and you're thinking now, hey, he's talking about the lily. He's talking about himself. How we had to overcome all these things. And sometimes in your life, you want the Lord to use you, right? But you don't want to draw the lesson what God put this prophet through. He was tried with the woman. You know, he says he had this girl, neck like a swan, eyes like a dove. I think later he discovered that she had devil eyes after that. And would try him with cigarettes. And even wanted to go to the dance. And she wanted to know, Billy, don't you dance? You know, can't you dance and so forth? And they began to call him a sissy. All right? They also they scarred him with many things. They called him many words because he come from a with the German. He had the Indian blood, the Irish. Everything was mixed up in him. You say, but why? Because he was a type of the Good Samaritan. That's where the Samaritans are, mixture of blood. That's why you see the parable, and there was a good Samaritan. that traveled from Jerusalem. The church came from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves. And a priest, a Levi, came by. That was John, that was Luther and Wesley. And then you see the Good Samaritan, which is Brother Branham. Brother Norman, one day the police stopped him. I think one of his lights was not working. They asked him, "Where are you coming from?" Now he's coming from Tucson. He said, "I was coming from Jerusalem." That sounds strange. You might think, but how did Brother Branham speak about that? Because when he's relating these things, you're reading it and you're not understanding that his life is actually going back to the Bible. The life is actually bringing some things that he can't plainly speak. He's speaking in parables. That's why I said to you, God's going to hide his mysteries in parables. And even when this prophet is talking, you've got to understand. You've got to look, go back and say, what is this? What is God trying to say? Search it out through the fivefold ministry. Because if you don't catch it there, you're going to realize you're going to miss it. Like, for example, is that when that blood cell was created in the womb of Mary, what do you think, what did the prophet say? He says that he crossed his cast and he stretched his tent. Now, how did he stretch his tent? In the form of the body that was in the womb of Mary. And so the tent of God was in Jesus. He says, go up a little bit. Okay? He says, Tucson, I live in Tucson now. This is my second year. I always said, I couldn't make a policeman last night. They gave me a ticket believing that was Jerusalem. I was on the road going up to Apache Junction and one of my lights went off and I was trying to make to it full station and the other went off. And I happened to look behind and I seen his red light. He stopped and he said, "You know what? Why I stopped you?" He said, "One of your lights went out." He said, "That's right." He says, "You know it's a violation to do that." I said, "Yes, sir. I couldn't get to a station. I couldn't find it out. I was trying to find one." "Where are you from?" He said, "From Jerusalem." Now, when you read that story, he says, "You're a minister." He says, "Yes, I am." He says, I'm from Jerusalem." He said, "Where is that?" "Across the sea." Now, when you read those stories, you're thinking, hey, you know what? He's going back. He's tying those things to parables. When I have the time, I'll even show you in the parables. And even in the miracles that was taking place in the Bible are the secrets of God. But when you read it, you just think it's a miracle. Okay, there's it. He says, "No, sir." He says, "It's been on the hill." He says, "Called Tucson. You know, you called it that." I said, "I've been down there in Jericho. Yeah, ministering in the valley." Where did you get Jerusalem and Jericho? Okay, you might think, well, it's on the map of America, yeah? But it's going back to his life. God is hiding this thing. Let's go on, okay? Okay, let me go back to my slides. Are you following me, brothers and sisters? Okay? So he hides in compound words, parables, simile, visions, dreams. He hides it even in the life of the prophet. What is he doing? He's hiding these mysteries. And that is why you would find that when it came to the seven thunders, okay? First, he said it was outside the book. It was outside the book. And then you had pastors in the message preaching 14 seals. Seven church age seals and seven seals outside the book. Because he could not understand certain things. Until he got straightened out and he says, "No, it can't be outside the book. It has to be hid. It has to be hid in the book. And if it's hid in the book, which book? What book? You are living epistles known and read of all men. You're a book as well. You are a book as well. If you did not know, this prophet was a book to you as well. You see, I don't understand. You can't separate the man and you can't separate the message. As we go into this, you will realize that there's so much of things that's sitting there that was taking place even in dreams, in the congregation, the dreams that took place, the visions that was taking place. Was God actually trying to bring this out? I think it's an unveiling of God there, Brother Norman. But Larry, just before you stumble, before you ponder above that, he says that God will not bring it out clearly. He's trying to bring it out to the church. He's trying to bring it out to the church. He said, why is he doing that? It's because, you must follow this whole story, is that the angel of the Lord told this prophet, because you went and explained the first pull and second pull, you brought about a whole lot of impersonations. He says, you shall not say anything about the third pull. You should not say anything about the third pull. Because remember that when he came to the third pull, at right at the beginning, the angel said, throw in what? The line. Right? And what did he catch? He caught a little fish. Now, who was the little fish? That was the Pentecostal babies around him. And when he pulled it out, everything came out. You know the story so well. And the angel of the Lord told him, you know why all these things got tangled, and he just broke down. It's because he was trying to explain the gift to the men. See, that was Brother Branham's weaknesses. A lot of pressure was on him. A lot of pressure. Now, my subject this morning, I trust that God will reveal this. And each time, if you take the tapes and listen, I hope and trust that you've had a spiritual understanding of what God has been trying, 1964, trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. He's trying to. Now you're thinking, how will God say it to us without really getting it out? It's happening right before the church, and they can't see it in the life of the prophet. Are you still sleeping? Somebody say amen. Without saying it out, it's happening right before them. All right. Was it borders? Was it woods? Fast and pray. In unrecognized message, right? Your day in your message. And he says, they can't see the awakening of the bride. Because they were fasting and praying for a revival right before them. Here's a prophet that God's using, and they are fasting and praying for a revival. And he comes and preaches the unrecognized presence of God. I want to say this. Even the titles that you think that he was just putting it there was hiding a mystery. Was hiding a mystery that the church world and the message community could not catch. You say, but why? Because he was not. Now, remember this. You know when Jesus was sitting there and he was talking to the disciples? He was talking to them plainly. When the other groups came in, they heard it like parables. You think, now, Brother Lou, what are you trying to get at? Upper room. The prophecies broke out, but the people heard the prophecies and the tongues in their own language. So the miracle was, if it was English going out to the book of Acts, and if there was Afrikaners, example, Greeks and so forth, they heard the English in Greek. They heard the English in Parthonian. That was the miracle there. Are you with me? When Jesus was talking, the disciples heard it plainly, but they heard it in a parable. Are you with me? You see, but I can't understand what. Why is it? Because remember that when God was talking, when the Son of Man was talking to the disciples, they could catch it. These are the men. When he said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood," and the people, Bible says that they walked away. He asked the disciples, "Are you also?" He says, "Where can we go to? For thou alone has the words of eternal life." How is it that they understood him, and the others could not understand him? How is that possible? It's because when something takes place right before your eyes, right? The prophet says people always look what has happened and what will happen, but they can't see what's taking place. They can't see it because that's how the human mind is. The human mind is looking out for something more in the distant future. All right, so now you're understanding that he's hiding his mysteries, and you're going to start learning that whatever is taking place in this prophet's life now, you need to start watching. Hey, is this how he's going to bring out the seven thunders? Is this is how he's going to explain the tenth vision? Is this how he's going to explain what's the third pole mystery like? So remember that the third pole, when he was explaining to the Pentecostal people, the third pole could not come into operation. It had to wait. Because by explaining these things now, it gave birth to a whole lot of impersonators that God did not want to carry them into the bright age. Because remember, you have the Pentecostal age and you have the bright age. So from the time the prophet came in, it was the Pentecostal age. Okay, the Pentecostal age, and now you'll find that in 1963, God's going to turn a corner, okay? He's going to come down with the open book. Now it's going to be the bright age coming in. Are we okay? All right. Now, let's speak about this now. I spoke to you that in the sixth dimension, is the theophonic world. Now, remember that if you're the elect of God, only do you have guardian angels. If you're not an elect of God, he says only the elect of God have got angels. You see, and what about the other people? They also are inspired, but not inspired from above. Now, what's the purpose of those guardian angels? The purpose of the guardian angel takes many forms. One, in the seven church ages, these were your guardian angels. These were your guardian angels. Are you with me? They played the role of a guardian angel. You see, but why? When Brother Branham comes down, he becomes your guardian angel. When you are born, your mother and father becomes your guardian angel. They begin to teach you. They begin to direct you, begin to tell you what things are taking place in your life. Be careful of this, be careful of that. They become your guardian angel. So now remember this, is that the guardian angel's purpose is to watch over the elected of God so that he could come into the ministry. So when you're born, and if you're the elected of God, there's an angel right by the mother's side when the child is born. Okay, you know the story, Dr. Spanks, baby breathes in, the baby becomes a living soul, living being. But if the child is stillborn, there's no guardian angel. There's no record. So if a child is born, does not survive, all right, you'd find that there's no record of it. It's only when the child is born and the soul enters the body, is the soul recorded in the book of life or the Lamb's book of life? Are you with me? So, the guardian angel, what the guardian angel does, watches over you in your pathway, in your spiritual journey, watches over you until you come to the father of this age. Okay? The father of the age. Now, so as the elected of God, you have what we call a gene that lays dormant in you. That gene lays dormant in you. And so this guardian angel watches over you just like Abimelech, right, was trying to put his seed into Sarah. The angel watched over Sarah that she will not receive foreign seed. That's why you could go to church and you couldn't stay there. Okay? You say, but why? Because of your guardian angel. Your guardian angel was guiding you to come to this truth. This guardian angel was guarding you to come to this truth. Now, remember I told you that that every one of you have got a guardian angel, you have a recording angel. If you have an office of a pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and so forth, you have what you call an angel that comes to anoint you in your office that you hold. All right. So, this guardian angel that you have, right, and your gene. So your guardian angel is actually is in the presence of the Lord. Now, listen to me carefully because there's some of the things I'm going to start bringing to you. This guardian angel that's in the presence of the Lord basically represents your gene. Represents your gene. Now, if you have no gene, let's go to Matthew 18:10. Let's go to Matthew 18:10. Brother Norman, Brother Waco. Take heed and despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven the angels do behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now, one time Billy Paul hit his child. And the prophet of God called him and says, Billy, you should not have done that. Because you hit your child in anger and his angel got angry. You know, sometimes as parents, you abuse your child because you are angry. And if that child is the elected of God, then that angel, guardian angel, will basically report you of your conduct. All right? So I hope children don't say, "Eepee!" No, it doesn't work that way. The point is, you don't hit your child when you are angry. Okay, some of them tie them to trees. Some of them make them just sit outside. You know, all those things. But your intentions are good. But don't do it in anger. All right, now. So, Matthew 18 and 10 has got a mystery behind it. Okay? Matthew 18 and 10 has got a mystery behind it. Where he says the angel is before your father. So to understand that mystery, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. And 1 Peter 1, verse 4 to 5, okay? For we know, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternally in heaven. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is in which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. All right? So not in a sense of clothing. All right? For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. All this is tied to Matthew 18 and 10. So when you're reading it, you are reading it as a guardian angel, all right, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Go up one more, please. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very nice to ask a oneness about the scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Just for you to go home and do your homework, yeah, that says Jesus Christ. The scripture you read before was Christ Jesus. You'll think God made a mistake there? No. There's a Jesus Christ and there's a Christ Jesus as well. So you can go and search it out. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, when you look at this, brothers and sisters, remember this, is that lots of times, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So this mystery was kept towards this period of time, where God wants to bring to you a better understanding of Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. Now, remember that if you don't have any representation, then you're going to have a problem even with your prayer. Now, in my notes, Brother Norman, you'll see there right towards the end, because some of the things I'll show you is where Brother Brian says, he says, God cannot see you. He can't see you, right? You say, but why? Because he can only see you through your representation. He can only see you through your representation. Now, you know that because of sin, there is a chasm. Okay, there is a chasm that the prophet said that we are separated. But because of the blood, we could be reconnected. All right? He says, and when I'm praying, God don't see me. God don't see me. He just hears my voice through the blood of Jesus Christ. So let's go. So, okay, that's fine. So many a times, we have this opinion, I want to pray to God. I want to pray to God. I want God to give me access. So now you got to listen to me very carefully as I'm throwing these things, because we will come back to it, and so you need to understand, right? Whilst I'm saying that, brethren in the back, Brother Brian prays, Father, I bring your word before you. Many a times, we think that God hears us because of the abundance of our words, or how nice we speak to God. Sometimes some of us use high words, you know. Some of us want to impress God with much speaking. All right? Now, this guardian angel that is in the presence of the Father, right, is connected or has an entanglement with your gene. Is an entanglement with the gene. Your theophany and your gene as an entanglement. When you say entanglement, it means that your gene and your theophany, which is in the presence of the Lord. Remember that when you're born, your theophany is there. Now, you are not alive there. It's a body that is prepared for you, John 14. Right? A body is prepared for you. That's there. If you're not the elected of God, if you're not the elected of God, you don't have a guardian angel, and you don't have a theophany that when you die you go into. You have a body, but not a theophonic body waiting for you. Are you following me? Now, when you hear the preaching, and let's say you travel everywhere, went denomination, you went to the went to other religions and other faiths and so forth, this guardian angel was guiding you because it's in the presence of the Father watching over you, right? It has a connection with your gene and is bringing you to your bringing you to this truth. Now that you are you've come into this truth, right? Your gene now is represented before the presence of the Father. It's represented there. How is it represented there? Because there is an entanglement now. And that's why you'll hear this quote, "You heard, I heard from my theophany." Now, your theophany can't talk to you, but he's actually speaking of representation. That angel is watching over you. Your theophany is there. You are is upon this earth. Now, when you're hearing the minister preaching, because you're hearing the minister preaching, there is what we call an inside teacher. The inside teacher is your gene. That gets activated when you hear the word of truth. Now, because you hear the word of truth now, and you have been sealed, now, all this is tied to your body change. All this is tied to your body change. Now, this gene is activated. Now, take a mango. When you put a seed into the ground, where does the body of the mango come? Does it come inside the seed or around the seed? Who say inside the seed? That's a funny mango. It's around the seed. The mango is around the seed. But everything, now follow me carefully, everything was first inside the seed, Brother Roy, which is right. But when you have the mango, it's now outside the seed. But when you looked at the mango seed, you couldn't see the pulp, the leaves, the branches, and all the fruit, but it was lying in there. Everything that you need for your body change is in this gene. All it's going to do, it's going to materialize around the seed, around the gene. You see, you're looking for a body change. It's already in progress. It's already in progress. Are you with me? So, did you bring that quote with the Norman? Did you find that I bring your word before you? Just to tell you, we pray, we say a lot of things in our prayer. Now, when you're praying, Brother Norman brought it up very nice. Let me use the board. Okay? So, this is a word of God. When I'm using red, it still shows black, eh? Okay, so I'd rather use black. This is the word of God. It has to come through your mind, okay, which is your conscious realm. Oh, gosh. Conscious realm. And then it has to get interpreted by your five senses. That's on your flesh. Then you've got five inner senses. Now, your five inner senses, you know what about it, your imagination, reasoning, and so forth. Now, you're hearing the word of God, and now you're reasoning with it. You're reasoning with it. You're thinking, I don't think so, this, that, and everything. But if you keep meditating on this word, you keep meditating. You meditate day and night on what we are saying. It's going to drop to your soul. Because inside here, there's a gene. Do I make sense? Because there's a connection. So, this is the word that's coming to you. How's it coming? fivefold. It's the fivefold. Now, what did I tell you right at the beginning? Did I not tell you that God is energy? Did I not tell you that God is energy? So if he's bringing in the end time his word, what are you getting? Energy. Right? Because remember that the Brother Rom is doing the waves and particles and so forth. Every thought that I have, right, is because of the energy that I have. Now, that can go into lots of other subjects. You know, I was telling somebody, did you know, scientifically, if the brothers maybe can even pick it up, it's on the internet as well. If you are calm, you blow into the water, they froze the water and they put it through a test. It gave a certain wave. And if you were angry and you blew into the water, it gave a different wave. Because they show you the different colors that comes up. You see, but why? Because there's an energy. Have you noticed you say to your wife, oh my goodness, you look so pretty. And she turned and said, so what do you want to eat? You go and tell her, that's all you know. You have no supper. But was it? It's just the word that went out. It created a vibration. It carried the thought of the person. So let's see if it's positive. It carried the thought of the person. All right, the brother explained everything. I'm not going to go into that. And now you took it in. He says, oh my goodness, amen, this is the truth. It's nothing but the truth what the brother is preaching behind the pulpit. You are when you agree with the word, your angel hears it. That's why you need to participate in service. Oh, but Brother Louis, we're concentrating. Get out of your human nature. Dwell. Live more into that subconscious realm. If you live more in that subconscious realm and you meditate, you get into the spirit of the message. That angel is watching. He's watching what you're doing, your responses, your attitude. Why? Because remember this, brother and sister. Brother Brandon now is praying and he says, Father, I bring your word before you. Now, why would you want to bring God's word before him? Because your word and my word has a different vibration. Now, Father, we bring your word. You said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting. He that cometh to me, I will know. He that heareth my words and believeth and shall not part. Make our request known to God and he will answer. So there's so many there. There's so many. Okay? I confess my wrong. He goes on speaking. Father, I bring your word before you. Why? I ask for healing. I ask for grace. I ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit. Right? Just go and read these things. See, but why? It's the vibration. You cannot catch the seven thunder mystery outside the apostolic work. Go and try it. You will never understand what the seventh seal is. You cannot catch the shout, ministry of the shout, if you are not sitting under a God-called pastor. Because if the pastor is not converted, you're going nowhere. You're going nowhere. If the pastor is not born again, you're not going anywhere. Now let's talk a little bit about this. I told you that all the angels belong to the Father. He delegates these angels to the Son. to do certain things. And that's why you get the seven church age messengers there. Because what did the Father do? At the end time, he sent it to Jesus via an angel to the servants of the church ages. We started with that. Okay? Why? Because to teach the church. Remember we spoke about Abraham. For I know him. He will teach his children and his household the things of the Lord. So God knew that you're going to have a prophet that's going to enforce the things of God. That's going to instruct the age on the things of God. Are you with me? And when you begin to understand that, brothers and sisters, when you begin to understand that this prophet now is bringing to you that which was in the mind of God. I started off, you look at all the slides now, is that the mystery and the greater mysteries could only come through a vindicated prophet. Not through the apostles, because those were seven church age messengers. There were apostles that were sent, missionaries that were sent, but it had to be a word prophet that has to catch this. Are you with me? So, when this word is preached, your word body, up there, when you agree to the services and when you respond, to it, you would find that angel is recognizing. You see, brothers and sisters, you have a word body there, but you're not in there yet. Because you are here. A theophany needs a spirit, so your soul will go into there. But because you have a connection and you have a guardian angel, God is expecting you to respond to the meetings. And that's why even with Hattie Wright, you'll hear the angel of the Lord said to him, give her what she wants. Give her what she wants, because when she said, Brother Brown, that is nothing else, nothing but the truth. It's nothing but the truth. And there will come a time that you'll begin to realize that there's an entanglement. An entanglement, there's a connection, like I was telling about my wife and Ruth in the front. Okay, both of them, there's an entanglement. She's not well, she's unwell. I can't explain that. Okay, you have twins have the same problem, Larry and Barry. Okay, twins. There's a connection. It's called an entanglement. So the distance does not separate them. They're connected. So you need to understand is that whilst you are on the earth, there is a connection that's taking place with you because you have a representation in the presence of the Lord. Now let's say you want your prayers to be answered. You want your prayers to be answered. I want you to first to remember that the theophany of the prophet messenger, the theophany of the prophet messenger is tied to your birth and to your death. After your death, so the prophet messenger and your theophany, not this body, your theophany, they are tied together. When I say tied together, I don't mean tied together, I mean entangled. I mean connected. Because you would not have received Luther's message today. Because the word body of the prophet, your word body, there's an entanglement, there's a connection. That you could only receive this truth. You could not fall for Luther, Wesley, or Pentecost. So the word, your theophany, the prophet messenger's theophany, are tied together at birth and also after death. I don't understand. When you die, you get into your theophany, and where do you think you're going to align yourself to? The prophet messenger. You will automatically gather with him under the voice ministry. Because if you, now I want you to follow, if you have no word body, it means you are not represented there. It means you not be elect. It will mean that you will not be in this ministry. You say, but why? That's how it is. You can't be in this ministry if you don't have a guardian angel. You can't be in this ministry if you don't have a gene. You can hold on with your dear life and hold on. I'm staying. If he doesn't keep you, you will leave. You will leave because nothing can hold you down. You'll find that money might drive you away. A job will drive you away. A marriage will drive you away. Somebody will tell you something. I might tell you something. My deacons might tell you something. Somebody in the church might tell you something. You'll leave the church. No. He left the church because there was no gene. They were just tools. They were just tools. I just said something and you got angry. You know, my deacons don't tell me anything. They only report to me on important. My elders don't tell me. They don't tell me anything. And sometimes you're thinking, hey, did Larry tell Louis about this? Did Norman, did Roy say this thing? No, they don't report to me. But you see, sometimes a statement is made and, oh my goodness, I think my wife must have phoned him and told him. No. But you see, sometimes it causes you to ponder, causes you to stumble, and causes some to leave. Because that's how it's designed. Because if there's no gene, no angel, you can't receive this truth. Okay? And so what happens is that no matter where you go, sometimes some of them will leave the church and they'll go out. Oh, I refuse to be here. They'll go out there, they'll learn a lesson, and they'll come back on God's term. Some of us will leave. You could be struggling and battling and go out there. Wow. You become another Bill Gates. Unaffected. Will we see you? Yeah, we'll see you outside the city. Okay? Do I make sense? All right. So Matthew 18 and 10, it's got a mystery behind it, meaning that it's also speaking of your theophany. You have a theophany. That theophany is waiting for you. There's a connection between your theophany and your gene. There's a guardian angel watching over you so that you can listen to the word of God. So only the elected have guardian angels. Okay? So the theophany of the messengers and his people are gathered together before birth. Oh, my slide turned. Before birth and after death. So what's going to happen? You'll see under the voice ministry. That's where you'll be gathered. All the loved ones that went before us and they elected of God, they are in the theophanies, they're gathered with the theophany of this prophet messenger. They are sitting together and they're having meetings. All right, so these are the different scriptures that you can look at. Matthew 18:18, 2 Corinthians 4:15. 1 Peter 2 and 5. Okay, those are the scriptures that ties that together. All right, brothers and sisters. So, let's bring this to a landing now. So, you have this prophet messenger on the earth. You have now the personal presence of Jehovah God. So, from 46 to 62, he's going up and down, up and down, up and down. And 1963, he comes down with the open book. Why? Because now he wants to bring to us now the things of the Word of God. Now, remember this. Remember this. I'll use the same board. So you have first seal right up to the sixth seal. All right? So the first seal to the fourth seal is the wisdom of God. Now that is preached to us in the church ages. the wisdom of God. Paul says we speak the wisdom of God, and there is the seventh seal is the hidden wisdom. That's where we're focusing on. Now, most churches, because their Godhead is wrong, because their Godhead is wrong, they can't place the shout. Okay? Now, there's also another quote about the that the shout voice and some the shout is before his before he comes, but we'll bring that as we study. You don't have to turn there, Brother Norman. It's fine. So this wisdom of God was preached in the church ages. This is the loose things. All right, this is the loose things. Now, because they don't have an understanding of Godhead. So that is why I say Godhead is not a truth, which means it's not something that you can have an option to believe. It's not that. If you don't believe that, even your the understanding of the mysteries are going to be, you'll not be in the position to understand it, because the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Now you know that. If you know your Bible, he can't, if you have only one Jesus in your mind, that Jesus can't come down, because if he comes, the rapture has to take place. So you'll find that in some message churches throughout the world, they are preaching that we're in the millennium. Because they can't understand that the shout. They say, look, 1963 is the shout. It is the message. So we must be in the millennium. Because what else it is? So in the millennium, you've got load shedding. So why do they think they believe? It's because the Godhead is wrong. Then, because they don't have the Godhead right, they say this is the word coming. Because there's a quote we say, it's the bride coming. But that has got a different meaning, the bride coming of Christ. The speaking of the ministry, speaking of the prophet, okay? So they say, they call it the word coming. Because they know the Lord himself has descended. So he's coming out of the open book. So that must be the word coming. Then there's another explanation is that Brother Brian says, he says, every time a seal opened, it thundered. Maybe Brother Norman, you can bring that out. Brother Waco, you can bring it out. Every time a seal opened, it thundered. Now listen to this. Seven seals to them will mean seven thunders. Now they say, but they bring out the quote. They say, but brother, it's in the Bible. The first seal opened and it thundered. But God says, and every time a seal opened, it thundered. So this is what the church world is. Because the Godhead is wrong. Because the Godhead is wrong. They say, look, the seven seals are the seven thunders are the interpretation of the symbols that's in there, seven seals. That's what they're preaching. Are you following me? The seven seals is the interpretation, right? The seven thunders is the interpretation of the seven seals. White horse, rider, black horse, red horse, and pale horse. You know, fifth seal, sixth seal, seventh seal. But they can justify it via the quotes. Can you find that quote where it says, every time a seal opened, it thundered? So every time he says a seal opened, it thundered. Okay? Now, when he says that, ministers catch this, say, well, it's a thunder. And so what is happening now, I want you to follow this, it's very important now. is that they preached it and they are expecting something to happen. But nothing is happening to them. They can't feel the passion to be in church. They can't feel the excitement to serve the Lord. And so the people are beginning to dry up. But they're quoting, when a seal opened, it thundered. And they say, well, that's the seven thunders is the interpretation of the seven seals. All right? Did you have that, Brother Norman? You got that in the back? So, yes, you can justify it, but it's wrong. But why? It's because the first six seals, so we have the fifth seal, which is about souls under the altar. And you have the sixth seal, which is the judgment seal. The sixth seal is a judgment seal. So the judgment seal is where so many of them place the judgment seal at the end. But you'll find out that there is a fourth and a sixth and a seventh seal running together. All right? So what if you have it, you can switch this, but so the hidden thing is under the seventh seal. When you open Revelation 8 and 1, the Bible says, and there was silence in heaven for a space of half hour. That space of half hour is tied to Revelation 10 and 1, which is tied to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. But you're not going to pick this thing up if your God it is wrong. You're not going to pick it up. Because now you're expecting something else, because you realize now we can't bring another Jesus down. If you bring another Jesus down, we've got a problem. So do you understand how important your God it had to be for us to break into what we call the seventh seal? Because the bride is caught up in the mystery of the seventh seal. She's caught up into this here, which is the hidden wisdom of God. What is the hidden wisdom of God? You're going to find we teach you about people, situations, things, and necessary evil. You'd find that we teach you about marriage and divorce. All right, we teach you about things of communion, Godhead, and so forth, the hidden wisdom of God. I told you, I started off at the slides. God has got mysteries and greater mysteries. If you have mysteries and greater mysteries, that has to... So the church world preach on the mystery. So this is the mysteries. This here is the greater mysteries. He can't give the greater mysteries to the church world. That's why when this prophet was told about the third pool, he says the third pool is about the rainbow trout. But when he was talking about this at the very beginning, he had the Pentecostal babies there. And you're going to see about the dreams about the shoelace and entangled net, or his net got tangled up. He said, what's going on? God is bringing out something without clearly telling you what's taking place, that you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. You see, a service like this, brothers and sisters, you can't preach it to... Lots of people say, but Brother Lou, why don't you get the people together in the other message churches and talk to them? No, the Lord will not allow it. He's not going to allow it. You know, because, you see, but why? It's because they can't catch the truth. For some reason or the other, something there's no representation inside of them to catch this. They're good people. They love the Lord. They go to church. They want to serve the Lord. But they just can't understand the hidden wisdom of God. I mean, there's a lot of things I've said. You can even put this on the open, for the open net, for the people who want to listen. It's fine, okay? Because we're just touching in these things to show you, brothers and sisters, that this greater mystery is only under that seventh seal, where in that half an hour of silence, you know, people are pointing to the cloud. They say, "You've seen the cloud. It's a look at the time." And no. It has more than that. We'll dwell more into these things, and I pray the Lord will bless you, undertake for you in a special way. I'll pick this up again on Wednesday, a little bit more at our service. Go home, ponder over these things. Go back to the recordings, because as we pick up, remember that, as I told you, the man and the message, you can't separate. What's taking place right before our eyes in the days of the prophet, you're going to find that God was telling it out without clearly telling it out. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We appreciate your bride. We pray that you bless the bride wherever she is gathered, the things that she has to attend to. We ask for you that you grant, Lord, us your blessings as we attend to various responsibilities and matters. And Lord, we pray that even as we would gather for our communion service on Wednesday, Father, that you just keep us inspired, Lord, that we will realize that what took place at the end time in our day, Father, the world knows so little about. Give us grace and strength. Undertake for us. We pray for our dear apostle who's traveling back home. Lord, and his family, you just watch over them. Grant them safe traveling mercies. Lord, bless us, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. And God undertake for you, Brother Terrence. Come along.